On this week's episode, we are going to discuss Avenging the Fallen and other Marvel news. We're also going to be talking about some new video games, Borderlands 3, and a new tabletop game, District 9, and Keanu Reeves, the tour guide. So sit back, listen, wherever you're checking this podcast out, make sure to hit the subscribe button, drop a comment and a review, and let Avenging the Fallen. Yep. Hello, all geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. Mess 5150 here with another All Things Nerd podcast, season 3, episode 13. We are back on another Friday to talk All Things Nerd with you. I am your host, Mess 5150. As always, joining me on the cast are people that are not always here, but it's awesome because we're growing and getting more people to come interact with you guys. First and foremost, the person that is pretty much always here, I see Zorro. You're on the cast. How are you, sir?
Wow. Am I close to the top of the call sheet now? Always here. That feels good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Do you really care? Yeah. So also joining us back on the cast. Back on the cast. We've missed him for a couple weeks. Nick, you're back. How are you, sir?
Oh, it's great to be back. It's great to be back. I'm doing well. My Texas Tech Red Raiders won last night, going to the Elite Eight for the second year in a row, so I'm on cloud nine.
Nice. And it only took 2 years to get him back on the cast. So if you watched the very first episode of All Things Nerd, you saw this man with a very glorious beard. The beard is not as glorious, but it's still got some chin hair there. But Aaron joins us on the cast. Hello. How are you?
Hello. I died for a while, but I'm better.
So I got better.
I got better. Are you dead for tax purposes?
And we have Jack Malice, our producer in the chat room to talk with you guys. If you're watching this live on Twitch, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Come over, join us. And we also have a bearded master from our Smack Talk cast in there as well. Welcome, sir, into the chat. This podcast is brought to you by malice-corp.com. That is the website that houses all the podcasts that we do, not just All Things Nerd, but All for Comics and Smack Talk and Nerd Mosh Pit and Comics for All and just all different types of stuff. So definitely go check us out over there at the website. Make sure to hit on podcasts and other media to see all the podcasts. We also have Are You For Dinner joining us in the chat room. Welcome to the cast. Thanks for coming in. So, and apparently I'm working hard to learn English, according to our producer. I just did another podcast before this for an hour, so cut me some slack.
All That's words used. Ugh.
Yes, all words used. So, we always like to start this cast out with talking about what everybody's been geeking out on for the last week, what things they've been doing to tickle their nerdy fancy. My thing continues, as always, for the last 3 weeks. It has been Supernatural, binging Supernatural. I'm halfway through season 7, so three and a half weeks in, I think I'm on a good pace.
So you're up to a point where they're finally catching their, figuring out who they are after that first 5 seasons of, you know, leading up to Lucifer.
Well, that's the problem I had, was like the first 5 seasons I really enjoyed, then Kripke left, and then they had the new showrunners, and then I didn't enjoy season 6 until halfway through season 6, and I was like, okay, it looks like the new showrunners figured it out halfway through the season and just dropped all the stuff that didn't make sense or wasn't working. And then they've refigured out who they are with these new showrunners. So, I'm up to where we get, the funny thing is my wife hasn't been binging it the same way I have. She's just watching every once in a while that she's around me to watch it. And so she knows kind of who the characters are, but not the same strength of them. So when we got to the Bobby dying episode, she started tearing up, which is funny because she only, you know, she's watched maybe a quarter of what I've watched, and it still had that much of an impact on her. So she was like, man, they got me. They made me think that he was fine. And then he died, you know, it's just like, yeah.
Oh, so, Bobby.
Yep.
Idiots. Well, idiots.
Exactly. His last words. But that's what I've been geeking out on. What about you, Icy? What have you been geeking out on for the last week?
Let's see here. I have been, I watched The Umbrella Academy, watched the entirety of that, all 10 episodes. That was, it was really fun to be in a superhero world where I didn't know any of the background. I didn't have any preconceived notions of going into it. I'd never read the comics. I really hadn't heard anything from people other than it's pretty good, give it a watch. It's really good, give it a watch. It takes a little to get into. I'm glad that it's in a streaming format. It's bingeable, because if I had to watch it week to week, I probably wouldn't have made it past like the second or third week. But then it really kicks in and you start getting into it.
It was good. I just watched it too, just in fact, just this week as well. And mm-hmm. yeah, really, I was really surprised. Strong yeah. performances from everyone.
Ellen Page is, she's a high level actress. She's real good. And the supporting cast wasn't bad either. I wasn't a super fan of the ape body guy, but, and then let's see here, reading, J.K. Rowling just put out a free version on Kindle of Fantastic Beasts with actual moving animation if you're using the Kindle app. So that's pretty cool. I've been reading that a little bit. And then I just finished playing through Lego Pirates of the Caribbean.
Another Lego game, huh?
I don't think I have any more to play. I think I've played most of them.
I'm telling you, go get Lego Dimensions.
I don't feel keep like adding spending a ton of money on accessories right now.
Well, no, it's not because it's now been out for so long. A lot of the add-ons are like discounted massively because it's people aren't going to get them anymore.
Yeah.
So
I also just picked up Rock Band 4 again. So I think I'm going to do that for a while.
Rock Band. That's a party favorite with us.
Yeah, I miss it.
What about you?
I still can't play anything less than expert on guitar. Otherwise, it's just too slow.
Oh, nice. What about you, Nick? What have you been geeking out on?
So I actually got pretty lucky on this. I still haven't finished the predecessor. I'm still working on beating Assassin's Creed Origins, which is a phenomenal game. I think Icy Zorro is also a big fan of that game.
Yeah, my roommate just finished that, and now he's playing through my copy of Odyssey.
So I actually picked up Odyssey brand new, not used, for $30. I thought it was a pretty good deal. It wasn't supposed to be $30. It was actually supposed to be $59.
Somebody just screwed up.
So I got it for $30.
Nice.
Yeah, someone screwed up, and happy birthday to me.
that is a massive game when you get to it. It's huge.
Oh, dude, I can't wait. I still have that, and I have Red Dead Redemption 2. And then I tried to finish a show and couldn't just due to how disturbing it was, which is usually not something that affects me, but I don't know if y'all have tried watching Leaving Neverland. I suggest you don't because it is that disturbing, but yes, I got through 45 minutes of one episode and turned it off.
What's that? What network is that on?
That is on HBO.
Okay.
It's really good. It's really well done. It's just that it's disturbing.
Okay.
And I wouldn't recommend watching it because it will it's just don't.
Yeah, you to watch that and still listen to his music, you really have to be able to divorce the artist from their art. My work is like 10 minutes away from Neverland Ranch, so people have been talking about that documentary a lot lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad, and I cannot listen to Michael Jackson music anymore.
Wow. Wow. Okay. On that lighthearted note, what about you, Aaron? What do you been you've been geeking out on for lately?
I have been gearing myself up for Endgame. That's been my focus. Playing through Kingdom Hearts 3 again.
Nice.
Did
you already finish it once and then go back?
Yeah, my first playthrough a while ago, and it's a great game. Really, really good cinematics. Really, really good. I mean, the cameras are still wonky like the first two games were, but it's still a good time. But yeah, focusing on Endgame and all the chatter that's going on around what's going on next month.
Are you doing the binge marathon?
I haven't been, but I'm going to start here soon.
I think Marvel was offering for somebody to binge through
$1,000 to binge straight through.
Yeah, and my face was like, "You guys are getting paid."
My ex-wife sent me a link to that, and I was like, I feel like I'm kind of going to do that for free anyway.
Yeah.
Well, how much of nerds are we that your ex-wife and my wife sent me that? That it's like, okay, even
there's a reason we're on this show. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. So, Jack, our producer, has been nerding out on studying to get his ham license or HAM license.
Yeah.
And he says that should be hilarious to people that know men. I think he meant me.
I think so too. I used to work with our producer Jack in a telecommunications industry, so I figured the fact that he's getting that certification, like, they should just give it to him.
Okay. He's done a lot, so that's why he's able to run the back end of this and make us at least sound somewhat professional. Run the back end?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't get the phrasing on that one, but don't explain. Okay.
I know this is a visual element podcast right now, but for later, the explanation wouldn't work anyway.
Okay. Before we go into the main focus of the show, we have a new member or an old member that's new back on the cast, and we've been building a D&D group for a long time to find out if we could actually do very well as the Malice Casters in RPG. Right now, it hasn't been very effective because we have a lot of range fighters and a singer in a bard. So,
and me and Marley doing in the close work.
Rogues, yeah, you hiding in the shadows and trying to, yeah, it's still, we don't have anything that's a
math. We need a tank. Come on,
Aero. We'll find out though, because this is finding out what somebody should be as a class, because this segment is the Classy Nerd segment. So a flowchart came out on Reddit that we've been going through to find out what class you should play in a Dungeons & Dragons game. Since Aaron is here on the cast, we're going to find out what class he should be playing. Jack Malice says he is our artificer in the chat room, but he didn't do it on the cast, so he can't be part of it until he comes on screen and actually does the picks for it. So that's my way of trying to get him to come onto the computer.
Ooh, throwdown.
Yeah. But Aaron, we are going to ask you a couple questions. You're going to answer honestly, and we're going to find out what class you should be playing in RPG games.
All right, let's do this.
So, when I fight, I like to hit them where it hurts physically, use magic to weaken them in ways previously unimaginable, either stop the fight or end it quickly by helping my friends.
The first one.
Hit them where it hurts physically. What's your view on personal space? I don't have boundaries. Respectable, but close when I need to be. Please get away from me.
I don't have boundaries.
You do that by being really fast? Question mark. Nope, just by being really close. Or I once ran a marathon in 12 seconds. Or nope, just by sneaking up right on you.
No, just by being really close.
Like really close, as in pretty close, yeah. Really close, or close enough to sink a knife in.
Really close.
You are a barbarian. Yeah. We've got a somewhat tank now.
All right.
Barbarian. Finally, somebody that'll get right up in there. And I don't know how close, I don't know if I ever want you to be that close to me again, Aaron.
Okay. It's that kind of cast.
It's that kind of cast tonight. All right. So moving on, we're going to get into our main subject, what we're really here for, the nerd news. Okay, so first and foremost, as Aaron brought up, he has been really focusing on Avengers Endgame, and for Avengers Endgame, announcing that it's 1 month away, they came out with 32 character posters for Avenge the Fallen, showing us who was alive and who was dead, because not everybody that they showed us on here was confirmed as to what they were. And that
Shuri
was the,
is dead.
Yeah, that was the shocking thing with this. I'm going to bring
Valkyrie's
up.
Valkyrie's alive, though.
That was okay. Yeah, so that's you guys are cutting me off on the.
Sorry, I'm excited.
I know you're excited. I can tell. Where do I go? Where do I? Just, where do I?
Thinking? Yeah, it's this movie is going to be one of those pop culture events where when you hear it announced when it's going to be, you think to yourself, or at least I do, okay, I have to survive until at least April 26th.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and now it's till August 21st of 2020, just for Intense 3.
Because we got the people that were shown. Falcon is not with us. Winter Soldier's not with us.
We saw Bucky die, didn't we?
Yeah, we saw Bucky die. So the everybody that was they showed that wasn't with us. Can't remember her name, but she has the things on her head from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mantis
is no longer with us.
Neither's Drax.
Drax, we were shown as well that he's not with us. But this, I mean, they showed everything that was people that were actually fallen was in black and white, and everything that was people that weren't was in color.
And here was my one main issue with this. They had to balance it out roughly half and half, right? So there's 16 that are alive, 16 that are dead. They included in the living ones Pepper Potts and Happy. Like, come on, they're not Avengers.
Well, yeah, I mean, and didn't she announce that she's not doing Marvel anymore, Gwyneth Paltrow?
I believe so, but I think the reason that they included Gwyneth Paltrow is because there's been rumors circulating about her coming in as Rescue, and she's the one that pulls Stark back from space. Hmm. So that could be the reason that they chose to include her in the first place.
Okay.
I could see that. The message he's making using the damaged helmet could sync up somehow with that could be a possibility. The rumors that I or the theories that I'd been hearing was that somehow Captain Marvel's gonna find him on the way back. But
there was that one too. But now that the posters came out and they included her and Happy,
interesting.
It's been a thing for in fact it was a thing before Infinity War came out that they were hoping that Rescue would be included, but. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what bugs me with, like you said, showing Gwyneth Paltrow and people like don't show, you know, if you're going to show them, why not show Hank? Pym didn't get shown anywhere. What, live or dead? We know he's not alive, but
right.
There was no black and white of Pym. Just
or the original Wasp.
Yeah. But I mean, those were the two big surprises. Was Shuri was shown dead. And it was shown that Valkyrie is alive, which, what do you guys think?
I really like that actress. I think she did a kick-ass job in that role. And
Tessa Thompson was amazing.
Yeah,
fabulous. But I'm hoping that she has a bigger role to play than she did in Ragnarok. Because Ragnarok, they didn't really use her in a way that was really worthy of her comic book persona. So I'm hoping that she has something really awesome to do coming up in Endgame.
Yeah, I liked her interaction with Thor, but I would have liked more, you know, a broader character. I get, you know, that was a, you know, Taika made the jokey version of that movie and it came out great, but yeah, I want to see more of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the big thing that people were like, where they got with Shuri, where they got all that I saw up in arms and stuff, where they were like, wait a minute, who's running Wakanda? What's, you know, which apparently Okoye?
Angela Bassett.
Possibly. Or M'Baku.
Yeah, we don't know if he died. Yeah.
The Vegans took over. No, he didn't die. They showed him, they showed everybody turn into ash around him, but they didn't show him. They didn't show him go down. So I have a feeling that he's probably one of the strongest leaders that's still there.
Yeah, him and Danai Gurira's character. What, you just said her name, was it? Or missed?
Yeah, Okoye.
Okoye, yeah.
Yeah, the Vegans took over Wakanda.
Well, yeah. Okay, so with all these posters, I know that this is probably something you're about to get into, but people are making all the crazy memes, you know, of other characters that avenged. But even before we get to that, Somebody went and mashed up the alive and dead ones so you can see the live person in front of the dead person and still got the Avenged the Fallen tag. So, for instance, here we've got Tony with Spider-Man in the back.
Oh, nice.
Fallen. Then you've got Cap and Bucky, and that's, you know, Captain Marvel is, of course, Avenging Fury. And the last one, Rocket and Groot.
Of course.
Yeah. I thought that was a pretty cool little mashup of those.
That is more Photoshop than I'm willing to do to
try. And if you want to go cry nerd tears, go look for somebody altered the posters. Instead of saying "Avenge the Fallen," all of the fallen people have their last words inscribed.
Oh, nice.
There. Yeah, so that was kind of sad. They didn't give me a Dead or Alive poster of Goose. What the hell, Feige?
That's a good point.
How's my Flurkin? Where's my Flurkin?
Hashtag
Flurkin meets America.
I need to know if he's dead. Because if he's dead, I'm going to be really upset.
The other one is they didn't put anybody but Spider-Man. Like, nobody else from that universe was shown. But that's because maybe we've already got that trailer showing. But they still haven't announced if that trailer is pre... No, it takes place right after Endgame. Yeah. So we know who's going to be alive right after Endgame. So that's probably why.
I'm so behind with the superhero movies. Marvel Universe, DC. I'm the only ones I've seen as of recent. Huh?
Now it's
Black Panther.
Yep. Now is
Black Panther was the last one you saw. Yeah, it's time to sit down and do a little bit.
Well, yeah, I've gotten so behind that now I'm just like it makes me super anxious because
that means
like,
you haven't even seen Infinity War.
No, you gotta check out Infinity War. You gotta check out Thor Ragnarok. Those are the two.
Yes. And Marvel. Captain Marvel was real good.
Captain Marvel.
Ragnarok is fun, but...
Like, I'm so behind that it makes me, like, super anxious because I'm just like, I have so many of these.
There's really only one way to fix
the backstories.
Yeah, there's only one way to fix that. Sit down.
I know.
Hit up Marvel, see if they'll pay you $1,000 to just sit through and watch everything.
Mm-hmm. And I should record it while I'm watching it.
21 movies, average runtime of just right around 2 hours. So, yeah, you just got to be away
48 hours about.
Okay. Almost 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that.
I mean,
as long as you get some bathroom
breaks. I mean, I've seen a lot of them. It's just that I've missed on some of the newer ones. Like, I've seen most of them, but there's been some of them that I haven't seen. Like, I haven't seen Captain Marvel. I haven't seen Infinity War. I haven't seen Thor Ragnarok. And I think those are the main ones I haven't seen.
So Jack, our producer, he told me to bite my tongue because Thor was great. And it's a great movie on its own. I just hated that it changed tonally 100% from the previous Thor films. And it was just like, hey, Thor is a happy guy all of a sudden.
Speaking of not having really seen stuff, they needed
to do something after the Dark World.
I get it. I understand.
Well, so, I see the problem with
Dark World. I love Taika. So...
I've only ever seen Dark World on a download, so the titles didn't work. So.
Mentioning people that we haven't seen if they're alive or not, that's the ones that they didn't show us. Where's Taika's character? The Rock?
Yeah, Korg? Yeah.
They didn't show us. They need to show us that.
His poster doesn't say Avenge the Fallen. It says, I'm looking to start another revolution. Do you want to be?
Oh, he died. Oh, no, look, he's alive.
And Lady Sif too.
Yeah,
yeah.
She hasn't been around since Dark World.
I assume
that they had just died, killed her off because she went and started doing that TV show. So, and people are still under the assumption that Loki's poster is wrong, that he is tricking everybody, that he's not really dead. So
it's possible.
Yeah. So. But yeah, so we got people ran rampant with this and started creating Avenge the Fallen for other pop culture characters. I don't know if you guys checked out any of them.
Oh yeah,
but
I mean the best one's got to be Mufasa, right?
Mufasa's good.
Mufasa one's good, but I don't know the imaginary friend from. The Pixar movie with their
Inside Out.
Yeah,
what was his name? Bing Bong.
Bing Bong. Yeah, the Bing Bong.
Bing Bong. That's it. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
I have that up here somewhere. Ned Stark is a good one.
You have John Wick's dog.
Yeah, John Wick's puppy. this is a good one. Han from Fast and the Furious.
Ah, nice.
So. Do you guys have any characters that you think deserve to have the Avenge the Fallen attached to them?
Yeah, well, three out of these four people right here.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Put Colleen Wing in there, and then we.
There you go. Four.
What are we talking about? Because for the audio cast, for the people.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, so yeah, so these four people right here would be the Defenders. So we got Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Matt Murdock, and, you know, some rich kid.
Ah, yeah, so everybody but Iron Fist. What about you, Nick? Anybody that you think from pop culture needs the Avenge the Fallen tag on them?
Chewbacca and Han Solo.
Absolutely. I did see a Han Solo one, yeah.
Well, just Solo so
Chewbacca.
Far.
Chewbacca's still alive. Don't so put that. Chewbacca, don't you put that. Don't you put that evil on him.
Not yet. Crossing my fingers.
You can do a Luke and Han.
You can do that too.
Yeah. So, but yeah, let us know who you think needs the Avenge of the Fallen tag on him.
Well, somebody photoshopped one picture that basically represents all the fallen people. And it's just a pile of dust.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, let us know who you think should be on the Avenge of the Fallen. Hit us up on Twitter at All Nerd Podcast and tell us your pop culture Avenge of the Fallen character. But to go along with the Marvel news, not just talking about these posters, we wanted to talk about kind of the cool little stuff that we found out. So one of the main movies in development for Marvel that's in talks right now is the Eternals, which was a Jack Kirby inspired comic by Marvel, that you have an up and coming female director directing the film. But Angelina Jolie is apparently in the mix. According to The Hollywood Reporter, she is in talks to actually star in this. And that's bringing just another huge, massive name to the world of Marvel.
Yeah, what do they have, like 20-something Oscar winners as part of the MCU now? It's ridiculous.
It's yeah, and people keep saying, well, comic books are going to die now. It's hit its flow. We're not getting any more, you know, comic book movies are going to go on the out. And it's like, well, they keep getting these big, massive actors to come and be a part of this stuff. I don't think the comic book movies are even close to being on the outs.
The talent that they're drawing right now, not just in front of the camera, the people behind the camera, they're drawing the best talent in Hollywood because this is where all the money is. So if you get a writing credit on an MCU movie, that's going to pay for you to be able to write all your indie projects that you want for pretty much the rest of your life.
Yeah. And not only that, they're taking chances on lesser known directors too. I mean, not just in the Marvel, but Patty Jenkins would have never been the big name that she is if not for Wonder Woman right now. And her first, the huge amount of press that she got from that is just astounding. So yeah, it's they're not going anywhere, not for a long time.
But I get what you're saying. You know, it does feel like there's a bit of a glut of superhero-ness in the zeitgeist. Like, you know, pretty much every new property that I'm excited about seeing is something to do with comic books. And I get how that can be a bit much for somebody or a lot of people. Not the people here, otherwise we wouldn't be on this cast. But yeah,
Jack in our chat room says, can DC get some of this talent? They're working on it. They're working on it, Jack. They're trying. So, I mean,
Deadpool's DC, and I sure love that.
Deadpool's DC? No, he's not.
Deadpool's Marvel. He's owned by Fox, but he's Marvel. Yeah.
I thought that was DC.
No, Marvel.
Nope.
No, Deadpool's Marvel.
Deadpool's an outcast from the X-Men, which is Marvel.
I thought X-Men was. Never mind.
welcome to the All Things Nerd podcast. Where we know where our characters come from.
Nick chimes in for the first time in 5 minutes, and we just shoot him down.
Nick's whole head is just swarmed with basketball and March Madness right now. So we're trying to pull him back into the nerd sphere right now. So sometimes it takes a little bit of it. But I mean, what do you think, Nick, on the casting of Angelina Jolie into a Marvel film?
I mean, Angelina Jolie is another big name. I don't have a whole lot of thoughts on it because she's never done a role like this before, but a lot of these other people, I mean, they haven't done a role like
well,
that.
Well, it's her first superhero. It's her first superhero film, but it's not her first comic book movie.
Yeah, second comic book movie.
So
yeah.
She cut her teeth on Wanted, and she did really well in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was a Mark Miller property. Wanted disappointed me a little bit. I own it on DVD, but based off of the source material that it went off of, they tried to make it a lot more realistic versus what actually happened with the comic book. So I think for what they were given on the script, I think they did a fantastic job. And yeah, I think she did well on that. She's just
Didn't she play Grendel in Beowulf?
Yeah.
Because I feel like this, I don't know a ton about the Eternals, which is the project she's in the mix for. I did some background reading on them today, and they're like, you know, if you want to relate them to the Olympic pantheon, the Eternals are like the Olympic gods, their parents, the Celestials are like the Titans and all that. But like, I feel like that'd be a similar type of role that she's done before, just kind of super powerful and serene, but deadly at the same time.
And we don't even know if she's going to be a main character in this. So for all we know, she could just be one of the Celestials that didn't create, you know, it could just be a smaller part, just like, hey, you
she could be Anthony Hopkins.
Well, exactly. From what I read, the storyline that they're going with is the romance between Cersei and one of the other male Eternals.
Icarus.
For his name. Icarus. There you go.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that if she's in talks, because you can't attract such a huge name and not give her the main role. Well,
but that's what's like. So it says, while details about the movie are being kept under wraps, sources tell The Hollywood Reporter that one aspect of the story involves the love story between Icarus, a man fueled by cosmic energy, and Cersei, who relishes moving among humans. It is unclear whom Jolie will play. Between those two characters, you would assume that she would play Cersei. And Marvel had no comment on it. So, but they've done this before with Marvel. They've taken big, huge name and put him into a more smaller role. Mainly because they're looking to tentpole it and want to have these people locked on. It's not like Chris Evans and even Robert Downey Jr. She's at an age where do you want to lock her in for 10 years on properties? Well, does she even want to be locked in for 10 years on properties?
Probably not. I mean, considering the steps back that she's taken from that spotlight, I mean, because she's had, three huge films that she's done in the past, 5 years, 10 years, maybe, even?
Yeah, but, I mean, she's currently working on the sequel to Maleficent. Two other projects in the works currently, so, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but she's been mostly doing independent work and directing and producing, so I don't think that she's even looking for that type of longevity in a film role.
Well, yeah, she's got enough money. She doesn't need to take a project.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh yeah. 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 Okay. You're so quiet over there, Nick.
What's that? I was thinking, because I'm really thinking about Angelina Jolie and her versatility, because to me personally, it seems like Angelina Jolie is kind of like the same in all of her roles.
Yeah, I get that. Jack brings up some points in the chat room based off of what we're saying here. He said Wanda disappointed him a lot. He said she wasn't Grendel. She was Grendel's mom, because Grendel's a giant ugly monster, not a hot, sexy half-dragon water serpent thing. So,
for the sexy half-dragon thing. Yeah.
He says Nick is lost in basketball scores and stats.
I am actually free of any devices right now.
Except the one in front of you to talk on.
No, that's true. That's true.
This cast.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I can agree with that. Angelina Jolie generally plays somebody that's, you know, sexy and kind of dangerous and intimidating. And
it's her the same in almost everything she's in.
But like you said, the story does evolve around like gods and stuff like that. I could see them putting it is in her wheelhouse to put her into that like kind of. That god character, she's played that style of character before. Yeah.
She's never going to get cast as the girl next door. That's all I'm saying.
No. Oh god, no.
The only thing I've seen her play something a little bit different was there's actually two movies. I can't remember what the other one is, but the one I'm thinking of is The Bone Collector with Denzel Washington. That's the only movie to where she's actually it's different than what she's normally done.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think even old stuff like Gia, nope, sexy, kind of scary. Girl Interrupted, sexy, kind of scary.
Yeah. Girl Interrupted, crazy, scary, but still sexy. Cool.
Yeah, so let us know what your guys' thoughts are on that. Let's get into the talking about the game news. They got another Borderlands game coming out. Have you guys played either one or two?
Oh yes.
I played one back in the day. I never played two.
Okay. You missed out.
I played one back in the day as well.
Both you guys fun. Need to go and play Borderlands 2.
Yeah. Get Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep.
I remember when that came out and hearing about the voice acting that was in that. It seemed like a lot of real good talent.
It's excellent. It's a D&D game inside of a video game. It's meta and it's crazy and it's fun.
Well, this Thursday they showed the first footage of the game. And I love this. The game is going to feature more than a billion guns.
More
than a billion guns.
This is not a game for somebody that has anxiety when there's too many choices.
No. And I'm sure it's a lot of customizations that make up the billion, but some of which can walk. So you'll have guns walking next to you for you if you're an alternate weapon. I love that. But they didn't mention when the game would be coming out. This was just a teaser trailer that they gave us. It was a really fun teaser trailer showing us environments in the new game, showing us some of the villains, showing us some of the action gameplay with the first person gun shooting. But this is something we need in a world where our first person games in Borderlands is just a fun game. And the storylines are really good as well. So I've been looking for a good first-person shooter story game for a while again, and I'm kind of happy that we're getting this because this was a surprise. Nobody knew it was coming.
Yeah, and it's really a breath of fresh air, too, because most of the first-person shooters that are coming out these days, they take themselves so, so very seriously. And Borderlands is full of jokes. Borderlands is full of not the relaxed environment as opposed to
I blame Naughty Dog and The Last of Us. It was because it took itself super seriously, but it was so well done that everybody was like, we can do that, right?
Well, I mean, talking on the point of taking itself seriously, so they released a little teaser trailer first before they released the big trailer, and the teaser trailer had Easter eggs galore in it. You had stuff from past and upcoming games. You had characters that were included from the past, but the funniest thing was there was even a Morse code message in it that translated to "Don't forget to drink your Ovaltine."
Did you need a decoder ring for it? Or?
No, it's nice when you get literally a 30-second teaser, and there's so much packed in there that it's worth watching for, 40 minutes because you're trying to pick apart every little, and that's what Borderlands does, is it's just having fun with everything. Even the Telltale game that they had for Borderlands was the same type of situation where it was just having fun. The huge thing with Borderlands, two great things with it. One is the comedy in it in terms of your claptraps. The robot the one-wheeled robot is hilarious. I actually had on the first Borderlands when it came out, I'd leave the menu on and the claptrap would roll back and forth and talk and say things. My cat would watch the claptrap on screen and try and chase it from one side to the other.
Excellent.
On the screen.
An interactive menu.
But the other thing was the animation on this game. There's nothing that touches the look of what Borderlands looks like. I love that it's not like any other first-person shooter out there. It's not a blend of everything else that you see, the dark lines, the cartoonistic coloring on it.
It looks like a comic book cell come to life.
Yeah. But why don't you guys play the other two? Play the second one.
Why didn't I?
Yeah.
I never got around to it.
That's exactly.
I just got busy with other things, got hooked on other games, and just never got to it.
I think that was coming out right around the time I went to Afghanistan for a year and a half. So I probably could have used it, but I didn't.
Yeah. It would have done good over there.
Well, here you go. So with this, that this announcement of the trailer for the 3, one, you've got the game coming out. Two, they have a card game coming out as well that takes place in the Borderlands universe called Tiny Tina's Robot Tea Party. And it's the first tea party of its kind. So that might be interesting.
And afterwards you say, my, what a lovely tea.
But the big thing is the studio also announced a remastered and improved version of the original Borderlands coming to PC for free and to consoles. And that all the DLC to date for Borderlands 2 was going to the VR version of the game for free. And an HD upgrade coming to the second game as well. So, good chance to go out and get the second one because you've got an update coming to it.
Can we get Square to do that now with Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah, God, that, well, I don't know when. I just want the first part to come out at least. They keep pushing that thing back.
Something, anything.
Jack says a billion guns. Yeah, Nick is like that. Is Texas on a Saturday? There's a problem. There's a lot of guns in Texas.
Yep. Lots.
There probably are a billion guns in Texas with how big that state is.
It would not surprise me.
There definitely is.
Well, the last couple of times that I drove through it, I was issued one at the border and then they took it back on the way out. So. Nobody? Okay.
No, I got nothing. let's get into the other game that I want to know what your guys' thoughts are, and I want to know what other movies should be given a board game. But I thought this was cool when I saw this and was really curious as your guys' thoughts. District 9 is getting a board game. The movie with the aliens and...
You said Africa?
Huh? Yes.
South Africa?
Yes, in South Africa, yes. So, it's a...
It's a hexes, tabletop.
It's a tabletop, hexes to move on, and miniatures. It takes place over the 3 days that the movie takes place in. So you're reliving those 3 days. It's for 1 to 4 players. You're playing as one of 4 factions that are trying to scavenge for alien tech while trying to avoid rioting prawns and some crazy half-alien guy, which is Wickus, who is in the game as a miniature but isn't controlled by anyone. And... yeah, your gameplay is played in a series of rounds. During a round, you'll take one turn where you'll move, play cards, search for tech, and encounter conflicts. As one of 4 factions, your goal is to amass the most valuable stash of alien technology, and it takes place over those 3 days. So the first day is a salvage mission, zone by zone, control a zone, claim the technology within. District is hiding a bounty of tech, but it can also bring you harm. You need to weather attacks from all sides to come out on top. And Wickus will be patrolling around in there. Your second day, your search expands. So I think you get another part of the hexagons to expand the map. Things get heated. Your action trigger events, which bring new characters and conflicts. Keep an eye out for the unrest meter. The last thing you want is to riot on your hands. So you don't even want your people to riot. Prawns can turn hostile any moment and they're multiplying. And then the final day, the cat food hits the fan, load your mech profile, brace yourself for the onslaught, and there's no hiding from the mega mech, so stay alert. Critical damage can spell defeat. The game ends when the last mech tile is claimed. So I guess you build mechs as you claim the technology. But
so it's Settlers of Catan slowly morphing into Mech Warrior?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I'll be honest, when I heard that they were choosing that particular movie to make a board game out of, I thought it was absolutely bananas. But seeing the way that they set it up into a 3-stage system and seeing the evolution of you're searching for something, then you have to make sure that all of your people are good to go, and then you have the fight at the end of it. It's interesting. I find it really compelling, and I really did not see that coming.
Neither did I.
That's surprising.
Just a random movie to make a board game about.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like a random movie. And then it's not some small company that's doing it. It's in Kickstarter mode, but it's Weta doing it. So Weta Productions is not tiny by any means.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was a really cool thing. I mean, Jack says it sounds like District 9 Munchkin. And he says, I mean, Munchkin has become like the internet with porn. If it exists, there's a Munchkin game for it, which is true.
It's rule 34 of tabletop gaming.
Exactly. But yeah, it's one of those ones where it just came out. You see it and you're like, really? A game for this? And of course, it's not going to be cheap because with all the miniatures and stuff like that, once it goes out, it's probably going to be a $60 game, $80 game. Something. Are there any other movies that you would love to see them make a tabletop of?
Ooh, Clue.
Really? Not movies that are based off of a tabletop game. Then.
How I want to know how they would do a tabletop Fast and Furious.
No, but in all seriousness, I know it wasn't that great of a movie, but if they're going to be able to take District 9 and do something like this, then I would think that they would be able to take something with the grandeur of Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets mm-hmm. and do something amazing with it.
The so game would have to be better than the movie. Yeah.
I think it absolutely
Do they have a Die Hard the board game?
No, they don't.
No.
The Nakatomi Plaza, that'd be awesome.
Die Hard the board game.
You know what you do? Okay, how do you do Die Hard the board game? You do it like a Chutes and Ladder style so that you're crawling to the different.
I was thinking like 3D chess, but yeah, Chutes and Ladders works.
Yeah.
3D chess would be cool too on it. But yeah, no, I love the instead of Chutes and Ladders, it would be the different
You get the one floor that's all glass and then you slide down.
Ducks and elevators.
Ducks and elevators, yeah. And rope. Because you can't forget the
you don't need a hope, you need a fire rope.
Fire hose. Fire hose, yeah.
I think and a giant steel cable to hang somebody from, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you collect different weapons.
You get you pull the community chess card and ho ho ho. Now I have a gun.
Yeah.
And save hostages.
Okay, it sounds like we should actually create this now.
Yeah, because I think this would work, actually, if we could get the rights to it.
It'd work.
Well, let's copyright this or whatever you have to do for these.
We're going to call it things. We're gonna call it Demise Strongly. I lost my vocab there for a minute.
Live easily. Just reverse it.
Live easily.
Yeah. I think that's called Candyland.
What did they? They called in Germany? Die. It was I forget the German words, but it directly translated to die very slowly. So yeah. We can use that.
Well, because they had to change the name because die is just the in German is die hard. That doesn't make sense.
The hard.
The hard.
Yeah. That's a whole another movie.
Different board game too.
Yeah. Any other I like that idea for the Die Hard one. Though.
Yeah, like I was saying, I want to figure out how we would do a Fast and the Furious board game. I think that'd be rad.
Yeah.
It'd have to be card based.
That'd be so difficult.
Yeah, you'd have to collect different cars and different fighting moves and stuff. That'd be interesting, I think.
But what are we talking? Are we talking beginning the early Fast and the Furious, or are we talking heist film Fast and the Furious at the end?
it'd have to be a progression.
I think the first movie can work a little bit smoother, but having something as a heist game that could still be fun.
Yeah. Build your car up to get the girl.
Yeah, build your car up. Add characters to your crew. Steal other stuff. Yeah, that could be fun.
Yeah, so let us know what movies you think need to be made into a board game and how you would achieve that. Or let IC Zorro know how to do a Fast and the Furious card game so that we can go get a Kickstarter and get it made.
Or if you have refinements for our clearly going to be successful Die Hard tabletop game.
Yeah.
I think the Die Hard game would be awesome.
It's got to be successful.
Oh, game to movie, 40K hammers, what he's saying. We're not talking about what games need to be movies. We're talking about what movies need to be games. So, all right. Yeah,
the movie would be good though.
So last bit on the news, not the so much near news, but it's the somebody's got to talk about it. Talk about it. The cool thing that came out was Keanu Reeves got stranded with other passengers because their plane wasn't working and talked the passengers into renting a van. And while renting the van, took a trip through Bakersfield. And he proceeded to be their tour guide, giving them interesting tips about Bakersfield and history of Bakersfield on their way to their destination, which just sounds like an awesome, awesome trip. Not something you hear every day.
It scared me. One of the tweets that I saw was something along the lines of like, when your plane almost crashes, but then you realize Keanu Reeves is having just as bad a day as you. I'm like, almost crashes? No. We need Bill and Ted 3.
Yeah. But, I mean, what did you guys think when you saw this?
I never got to see what kind of plane were they on. And why was Keanu Reeves on like a passenger plane with other people? I know he's a very modest guy, but I also know that he's private. Like, I just didn't think that he would be. I know he takes public transportation, right? Mm-hmm. Like the subway.
And it's the sad Keanu meme. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just didn't think that if he rode a plane, I was thinking that he would be more private. I don't know.
Well, it sounded like they were going from LA to San Francisco. So, and they only rented any bus for all the people, so I'm thinking this was like a smaller plane.
They were going San Francisco to Los Angeles, and they had to get rerouted Bakersfield because of a mechanical issue. So rather than sit there and wait for a new plane, he basically just told the passengers like you know,
come on, y'all,
our baggage will arrive later, it's cool, let's just rent a van, you know. And he pitched the group. He did the clap. Let's hit the road.
Yeah, and we're walking, and we're whoa.
So it says it was. They don't know if he actually organized the van or just like told people we should get a van. You know, we should get a, like. I'd like to think not that he organized it. I'd like to see him like walking around the group and whispering in ears like, "You should get a van."
Yeah, and I want to know if he didn't take everybody, how he picked the ones he was going to take.
First come, first serve.
You're the guy that got off the plane like last. You're like, where'd everybody go? Oh, they all went in the van with Keanu Reeves.
He had everybody put their name in his hat, and then he did a drawing. It's like, yeah, and you're the lucky
Ted Theodore Logan. You can't rent Ferraris for all of us. Come on, man.
It doesn't look like it was just a van. It was a minibus, so I think they were able to fit everybody. Because I don't think it was a big plane. It was probably like a two engine or a single engine plane.
Yeah,
like the dangerous ones,
20-something seater.
Yeah, so probably everybody got onto the thing, and you know, Bakersfield. How easy? I wonder how easy it was to find the bus. Like, do they? You would think they'd have a lot of routes to Vegas, like party buses. That's the funnier thing is it's like a party bus that they did this in.
Oh, yeah.
Stripper pole, loud music.
Yeah. I mean, not only did he regale them with facts of Bakersfield, but he was playing his music from his iPhone.
Dogstar? Probably. Awesome. I can't believe I pulled that one out of my head. His band was called Dogstar.
That would be amazing.
Oh, God, you got me coughing.
A sneak peek of Bill and Ted 3.
Yeah, exactly. I would be like, so we're thinking about doing this song on Bill and Ted 3. What do you guys think? You know?
So what's on your playlist right now? A lot of 80s rock, honestly.
What's on there? Wild Stallions.
It's just an awesome, awesome story to happen. Do you guys have any celebrities that you would want to get stranded from a plane with and have this kind of situation happen where they're...
Does it have to be Bakersfield?
No.
There is no Bakersfield. I'll tell you what,
man. If I got stuck anywhere, I would want to get stuck in New York City with Willem Dafoe. That would be fun to have him as a freaking tour guide.
I was thinking Las Vegas with pre-sober Dax Shepard.
Masonic Vader jumped in the chat room to tell us that he's having fun without us. So thanks. You said pre-sober Dax Shepard?
Yeah. I want to party with Dax Shepard back in his party days.
I don't think Jack gets the concept of what we're talking about.
He says, that, I mean,
Penelope Cruz on a deserted island. I mean, I'm not saying no to what he's saying, but I don't think
I like that.
Oh, now I want to go antiquing with Tom Cruise. My
childhood crush, Jennifer Love Hewitt. Oh, God, antiquing with Tom
Cruise. Not Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks
has such a generous, kind energy. I want to go through antique shops in New England with Tom Hanks. Looking for typewriters.
That's a good one.
Looking for typewriters, yep.
Now, besides the obvious of wanting to do that with, like, my childhood crush, like Jennifer Love Hewitt or something like that, which is still gorgeous to this day, I think.
She really
but is. if I had to pick an actor, a celebrity, just because I feel that my personality would mesh well with this, just because I'm goofy as well, is Chris Pratt.
That'd be fun. Now
he's a guy you can just hang out with. Yeah,
I'm gonna go on the complete opposite end because I think it'd be hilarious and to see people's reactions as it happens because I think that he would just get annoyed and scream and yell at people.
Pauly Shore?
No. I was going to say Russell Crowe. Could you imagine Russell Crowe being a tour guide?
Now, that's a different kind of party.
He's like, you want to fight?
Nobody messes with Tugger.
Just look out the
dirty
right.
Dirty pugs, look dive right. Bars.
They're known to kick with their legs.
And he has his own band as well, doesn't he? So
he does. 30-odd foot of grunts. How do you know these?
Why do making I know? Movies, making music, fighting around the world.
I mean, with the people that have their own band, what would be the best person? Keanu would probably be the best person to have the situation happen with. Kevin Bacon wouldn't be bad.
Oh, you could do what is the game? The Kevin Bacon game.
The 7 degrees.
The Kevin Bacon game.
Six degrees of Kevin Bacon. Yeah, you get stuck on this, and you just play the 6 degrees of separation with Kevin Bacon the entire ride.
With him and all the other people on the bus.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I don't think anything could top that, playing the Kevin Bacon game with Kevin Bacon.
That would be awesome.
I can't believe nobody on a talk show has done that yet.
Haven't they?
You gotta wonder if maybe he has it in writing. You gotta wonder if maybe he has it in writing to not. That's not one thing that he wants to do.
Possibly,
just because
it seems like the easy thing. Joke.
Yeah,
I was gonna avoid picking hot girl tour celebrities, but then Nick went ahead and brought up Jennifer Love Hewitt. I think I got
gorgeous.
I think I gotta go shopping with Alicia Silverstone. I don't want to buy anything.
Ooh,
that would be awesome.
Good choice.
I just want to walk around a mall with her. And it's got to be
a little in real life, a little weird.
She recently did lip sync battle on Jimmy Fallon in the original yellow mini skirt plaid outfit.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Exactly the same.
No,
she looks I would do the mall thing with her only if she dressed up like her character from Clueless.
Yeah, that's what you said. The yellow mini skirt.
Yeah, I second that notion. I think it's awesome.
And of course, that leads me to Turk and JD from Scrubs. I think just hanging out with them at a Chili's would be fun.
I think anywhere with those Donald Faison and Zach Braff would just be fantastic. Yeah. Those two, I think it doesn't matter where you go.
I would want to have the guy that plays Perry there as well. What's his name? Michael C. Cox or something like that.
You don't want you don't want the Todd.
Giving the you Todd.
Self high five.
Something bad is happening.
You got anything
maybe,
else?
Maybe even Jan Etor.
Hey, Aaron, you got any other that would be fun to hang out with?
I can think of 1,000 people that'd be fun, but no one that I really want to.
Aaron's gonna be the guy that when Keanu's sitting there going like, let's do this, let's get this, he's gonna be the one standing off in the corner going, I don't want to hang out with you. No.
I'm just gonna sit in the corner over here and smoke.
It's like, leave me alone, I'm trying to watch Speed.
Okay. All right, that's our cast for tonight. So with that, what we do here is we sign off, let you know where you can follow us if you guys want to interact with us outside of this podcast. And if we have a hashtag of the week just to talk with us about things, we will reveal that here as well to interact with. Nick, I'm going to let you go first. Where can people follow you? And if you have a hashtag of the week, let people know. If not, cool.
You can follow me at Raider0314 on Twitter and on PlayStation Network. I don't have a hashtag that I can think of because I have not been nerding out so much this past week just due to March Madness.
What about you, Aaron? Where can people follow you? And if you have a hashtag to interact with people on social media.
I am at DOS Newport Kid on Twitter and also on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. And my hashtag is Save Goose. Seriously, if they kill that cat, man, I'm gonna be so mad.
I see. I'm a flirt.
You can find me at ICZorro on Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network. I'm gonna go with hashtag read this book. I am dangerously low on reading material, and I need suggestions. So tweet at me. What's a lot of the stuff that you're gonna tweet me? I've probably already read just in the sci-fi fantasy realm. But tweet it at me anyway, and I guarantee I'll find something new in there that I can read.
Nice. And you can follow me and this pod. Well, you can follow us everything having to do with this at Malice Corp on Twitter or on Malice_Corp on Instagram. Follow the website, malice-corp.com. Come check us out. Come check out all the other podcasts that we have there. Look us up on YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Make sure to hit the subscribe button and leave us a review, letting us know how we're doing here. Along with that, if you want to follow me, you could follow me on Twitter at @mest_malicecorp or on Instagram at @mest5150. And my hashtag of the week is just to bring awareness to something going on for YouTubers, and that is #SaveTheInternet. Look into Article 13, see what that is. They're really law came out that's hurting small YouTubers, and a lot of people aren't aware of what that law is, but especially if you are in the EU, you have the ability to vote and get this turned around. So, hashtag save the internet, and let's get everybody getting the same rights. So with that, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and you guys keep nerding on, and we will see you next Friday. Later.
Carry on.